Good morning and welcome to Niokate View. I'm Peter Newman. We're going to be talking trash. We're going to be talking art. We're going to be talking trash art today, which is coming up in Manzanita. The co-founder of Trash Art is Lorena Ortiz, and the current location for Trash Art, which is happening, we'll tell you about that, coming up the 4th of July weekend. Well, actually, after the 4th of July, 5th on, is John Freethy with the Hoffman Center Board. Good morning. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Peter.
Okay. And let's start with the history, which, in a way, this is the first, but it's really the 14th. So you're going to have to explain to me and everybody else how you can be the first and the 14th at the same time.
Okay, well, I'll take a stab at that. This show was created in 1999. Susan Walsh and I were the birth mothers of the show, as it were. Cardam, as you know, Cardam Recycling is a very creative place. And Lane DeMaul, who was director at the time, wrote a grant to the Oregon Arts Commission for Arts Build Community. And we got together and thought, how can we start being very creative with what the community brings into Cardam? And we decided to have an art show where people upcycled their trash and made art with it. And in 1999, this was a new idea. Other people were doing it. A lot of people in the world are very creative with things that they do with their trash. But for an art form, it was rather a new idea. Now, fast forward 14 years, and trash art or upcycled art making with recycled materials is an international phenomenon. It's going on all over the world. There's a million websites that you can look on with very interesting things that people make, that both functional, sculptural, even moving into the realm of fine art.
And John, it's now this year at the Hoffman Center, which is sort of appropriate since it is the art center for North Tillamook County.
Yes, it is. That's always been our goal, is to push the arts and open up to the community with our outreach and give local artists and anybody interested as much opportunity to sink their hands into the art as possible.
So how did the marriage of Art Center, Hoffman Center, and the trash event come to pass?
Well, looking back a little bit in the history here, in 2002, the show was still called the Trash Art Bash. We had the art show, but then Cardam started adding on a few more rings to the circus, which in 2003 actually became the Trash Bash, which became a beloved community event. It ran for 10 years. Every year, over 1,000 people would come to this event, which ran rain or shine. I'm talking sideways rain.
And circus isn't exactly just a metaphor.
We had people on stilts and pink hair and cars decorated with detritus. Anything you could think of happened at the Trash Bash. People looked forward to it. They loved it. What happened in 2011 was we had a very successful year with the bash, but it reminded everybody at Cardam, which is growing by leaps and bounds, that what occurs for this business, and Cardam has to be a business so that it can stay doing its great work for our community, is that imagine having a business where you had to use about 50% of your time and resources to plan an event for 4 to 6 months, and then you actually have to shut down your operations and move every single thing in your operation out of the way, throw a big party for people, and then be back to business 2 days later and put it all back and being functioning. The board said, you know, we better put the pause button on this and think about this. Maybe we should take what is the current Trash Bash, spin off the favorite portions of that event, and start taking it off campus and partnering with other people in the community. So the first place this has landed is with the Hoffman Center, who saw it as a great opportunity to get an art show, bring it into their venue, and then Cardam saw it as one of their mission opportunities to start building greater partnerships with other nonprofits in our community.
And as a result, not only did you get the partnership, but you also got a logo out of it, which is how, John, you created the work of art that is the signature, I guess, for the show.
I did. The logo was created on about a half a sheet of plywood, and it's used all with materials that were found at Cardam. Quite a few metals, including forks and electrical outlets, rulers, pieces of wire strapping, mailbox letters, cut up Coke cans, and all sorts of various materials.
You know, I'm curious, this is a digression, but it really isn't, because it's what the show is about, and Lorraine, you just mentioned that how this kind of art is has become very popular and very significant. When you're creating this art, are you aware not just of what the physical thing looks like, but what its history is? I mean, it's not just an electrical outlet. It has a history. You might even know where that outlet came from. I mean, does the physical thing inform how you think about what you're going to do with art?
Well, I know it does for me. I'm working on a series called, I guess I'm going to blow my cover here, but I'm using hundreds of 3.5-inch floppies that I've had from my life. And so the works I'm creating, I'm not going to say what they are, but I'm calling it the Geek Series, so it does inform it. I mean, it's about technology. That's the data that lives on this 3.5-inch floppy that's being turned into something else. It has its own history inherent in the piece that I'm using to create this other three-dimensional form. So I think that a lot of the artists reflect that in the title of their work. But they're probably also thinking about it as they're creating work. I mean, John, you're using a lot of interesting old metals.
What are some of the materials you like to work in?
Yep. Well, with the sign in particular, one of the fun things is there's a cheese grater on there that was bought from a yard sale from a friend's mother that I'm sure goes way back and that has a history in it too, and like with the electrical outlet. And, you know, there's significant scratches and things. It's fun to think back to what this was and give it a second or a third life.
Yeah, I was thinking, a scratch, if we have an object at home and we've scratched it, we think, oh my gosh, it's no longer as pretty as it was before the scratch. But from your point of view, the scratch is a piece of character.
It does,
It adds something to it, even if you don't exactly know where that scratch came from.
It brings it alive, and one of the pieces that I've been working on has quite a bit of rust on it from just sitting in somebody's workshop for years and years, and I've used that rust as part of the piece, and that's what's the charm of it, and it's making it appealing.
We are talking the Trash Art Show in Manzanita, which takes place Thursday through Sunday, the weekend right after 4th of July, the 5th through the 8th. And there's entry dates, which is this coming Friday and Saturday, and we're going to talk about that. And, of course, since you haven't accepted the entries yet, you can't tell us what they're going to be, but you can tell us what kinds of things you've seen in the past and what's the general universe. Where are we?
Oh, the universe is broad and wide. We never know what we're going to get. And so people are in their homes or their studios creating things. Although John and I do know a couple of pieces that we're going to go get because we have visited one of the artist studios. He's a new resident to our community. And I'm going to let John talk about it because he found him.
Okay.
How'd you find him?
I think we found Jeff through our Facebook page that we have for the Going for the Trash Art Show. And he's recently moved out to the coast. He lives in Manzanita. He came from Portland, where he's lived for quite a while. And for the past 15 or 20 years, Jeff Wallen has been making art out of old copy machines, completely disassembling them piece by piece. Nothing is wasted. The only thing that he doesn't keep is the ink, which then goes back to the recycling plant. So he's been zero waste for quite a few years with his art. And he has made creatures, do we say? You have to think about science fiction movies, and he's got spiders and robots and jetpacks and all of these unbelievable contraptions that glow in the dark that he's made out of entirely copy parts, and it's just it's amazing and inspiring to see.
You mean the light that copy machines use as part of the art?
It is. So paper trays and every single piece gets a use.
Because I think copy machines are scary enough as they are.
Wait until you see this piece. Yeah. The spider moves. It can walk across the floor.
Oh, wow. Because they have little gears and motors. And
it's a phenomenal
part. What are some of the other things you expect and that you actually have seen?
A lot of mosaics. You were talking about what people, they get a scratch on something and they don't want to throw it away. A lot of people are finding new historical heartfelt uses for old pieces of china or things that come from their parents or grandparents that they're repurposing and making into beautiful pieces of sculpture. A lot of the things that come in are practical. We have furniture, we have lamps, we have clocks. There's often clothing that comes in, planters, a lot of outdoor art. People work with metal to create things to have in your yard. There's a little bit of everything, and there's always a surprise that comes in, something that we could have never imagined, things that are made with tires, things that are made with old moccasins or old candles. People are just getting really creative and pushing the edges out on the boundaries of making art with recycled materials.
And John, I'm guessing this is very much in keeping with what the Hoffman Center, you know, whatever the mission statement is, which I sadly don't have in front of me, but, you know, that's okay. But the idea that, art can work on different levels with different materials and different ends, it's probably very much what the Hoffman Center is all about anyway.
It is. We try and cater to all ages at the Hoffman Center, and we've got a summer kids art camp coming up. It's going to be the last week of July and the first 3 weeks of August. So we try and always include things for the youngsters as well as adult art classes that always go on. And we have a broad range of things from clay to film and writing, letterpress, drawing, and try and do a little bit of it at all.
That is really cool. Okay, so let's get into the details, because what submission deadline is, well, it's not just a deadline, it's specific dates. It's this Friday and Saturday, right? Be there or be square.
Right. We have set aside two times for people to bring in art, once on a weekday and the evening, and once on a weekend, so that people can come when it's most convenient for them. First date will be this Friday, June 29th, from 5 to 7, and this is all being delivered to the Hoffman Center, which is 594 Lineta Avenue in Manzanita, or you can bring your work on Saturday, the next day, June 30th, from 10 to noon. Everybody can bring in three pieces. We accept all the work that comes in. Our only stipulations is that the work needs to be for sale. This is a fundraiser for both Cardam and Hoffman Center. The split for the artist is 50% to the artist, 25% to Hoffman Center, 25% to Cardam. And there's no entry fee to participate. And our only major stipulation is that your work has to be able to fit through a standard size entry door.
And back out again.
And back out again, yes.
I mean, that's not necessarily a given. You could assemble it in there, and then where would you be?
That's right, yeah. We'd be in a world of hurt.
Well, is this the first of maybe some other collaborations between Hoffman Center and Cardam? Because I can see just an awful lot of, you know, compatible philosophies and just different areas moving forward that both organizations would be pretty excited about.
Well, we sure imagine that this is the first of the collaboration for Trash Art Show, but who knows what's going to spin off from here. We do, one of the other favorite events at Trash Bash has been the Trash and Show. That is spinning off, and that will be October 13th. But what has happened with Hoffman Center in the past for that event is Hoffman Center has hosted the workshops where people can come and make their outfits for this show. And so it's a fiber art kind of environment where a lot of men and women in the community come together, and they use fibers that have been donated to Cardam. Then they bring them over to Hoffman Center. Everybody sets up on their big tables and stuff that they have over there, and inspire each other to make some pretty outrageous things that you'll see on the runway on October 13th. What else do you imagine, John, from Hoffman Center and Cardam?
I see a future in the connection between the two organizations. I think we both have similar missions that, you know, are really community involved, and I think there's a need for all of that. And
yeah.
You know, quite a few projects that could spin off of this in the future.
And I think it's just showing, Peter, as you're maybe leading to, is that more and more what I call the anchor tenant nonprofits in our community are understanding that because we live in this small little place, and because there's so much crossover of participation in all these nonprofits, that it's just going to be natural that we come together more and more to plan, to see where we can assist each other in any efforts, whether it's borrowing tables and chairs from each other or hosting an event at their venue because it suits the idea better. But I think that's just starting to happen here, and it's pretty exciting for a rural community like this to have that strength. It makes a nucleus in a community that I actually think is kind of rare, and it's being built from the inside out, so it's not overlaid. It's just happening organically, and this is sort of one of the first major blossoms of what's been being nurtured here over time.
Well, yeah, even before this idea of bringing the two groups together, I would guess a lot of artists just went up to Cardam because that's a place to go for supplies. John, did you go to Cardam before the site even came about? I mean, I'm guessing that
I did. Yes, I've always been a regular there, and it's fun sometimes just walking around and getting inspired, especially by the stuff outside, and you see something that's a cool shape. Maybe a tile or a window or an old board, and a lot of times that can inspire a new idea. And a lot of artists I've talked to, they're preparing for this show, they kind of have a half a piece ready, and they've asked me, well, where do I go with it? And I say, well, go walk around Cardam, and you'll find that weird object or that strange shape, and you can just build it from there.
But what are your some of your favorite media that you like to mess with?
I do quite a bit. I've been doing a lot of plaster on top of wood and painting with that. A lot of acrylic painting. I do block prints. Photography has always been a favorite of mine.
What fun! I'm always a little bit in awe of artists because, you know, I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. So anybody who can do anything talented in the visual arts has my deepest respect. What's going forward for Cardam? I mean, if this is not one of the things on Cardam's plate, you said there's a lot of other things going on, and Cardam is growing. So it's a busy place.
It is a busy place. And I did talk about two of the events that have spun off. Let me just give a plug for the third, which is going to be July 28th. We're calling it the Cardam Treasures Live Auction. We've gone to the Valley. We've hired an auctioneer who will go out and auction off your farm equipment or come to your house and do your estate sale. He's a really interesting, fun guy named Paul Anderson. We're bringing him over here, and he will be auctioning 250 lots for Cardam of the stuff that's been skimmed off the top. Belinda Spiegel, who is our expert at the good stuff that comes in at Cardam, is preparing the lots. She's also an auction aficionado. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be at the NCRD gym. There'll be a preview from 10:30 to 12:30 on that date, which is a Saturday, July 28th. And then the actual live auction will be 1:30 to 4:30. That's also a fundraiser for Cardam. But what other things that Cardam's doing now that it's got Trash Bash off its campus is Cardam's board and staff are very committed to this idea of zero waste. And zero waste is... It's a high bar to shoot for if you just think about what zero waste might mean. But where we're starting first, or where the board and staff are starting first, is all of these events that are going to take place: the Trash Art Show, the Cardam Live Treasures Auction, and the Trash and Show are all going to be zero waste events. So it's starting to model that idea of zero waste out into the community. And from there, Cardam will spin off a zero waste canteen that you, Peter, or anybody could go and rent from Cardam, take to your event, and it will give you the way to make your event zero waste. All the bins that you need, all the information you need to do that. So they're modeling the behavior at first, and then they're going to offer it out into the community. The other thing they're doing is they're doing an internal waste audit to see they are a zero waste mission-driven organization. So how are they doing internally? What goes on that actually gets thrown away? So they're coming up with the stats and facts and figures on what they actually throw away. Then they're going to take the model of their zero waste audit and bring that out into the community so that you could have that in your home to see how you're doing on your what you do with your waste. They're also doing an appliance repair program, so Cardam will now have appliances for sale that have been rejuvenated. And I know, John, you're always looking around the electronics. Aren't there all kinds of cool electronics there that you can buy?
There are. There's great stereos and computers, iPods, pretty much anything you need. Just keep your eye out, and it will come through from time to time.
And electronics are really pretty horrible when they think about, you know, what it took to make them in terms of just tossing them out, the effect on the environment, you know, downstream from all the chemicals. And
they really are, and it's nice to see all of that not ending up in a landfill, and it saves the customers a lot of money, and you don't have to pay shipping on something and bring a truck all the way to your house just to get it. You've got it in your neighborhood already.
And then for those electronics that can't be used again, there's a national program called e-scrap, and all of that stuff gets pooled together, taken to one central location, mined for the recyclable commodities that live within inside those electronics, and then this e-scrap program has ways to reuse all of the plastics and everything else that lives in electronics.
That's wonderful. Our guest this morning on the Econi View, Lorraine Ortiz, the co-founder of the Trash Art Show. And John Freethy, who is with the Hoffman Center Board. John, going forward, what's happening at the Hoffman Center that's exciting you, both personally, I guess, because you're an artist, but also seeing all the various activities that go through there. We talked a little earlier about that mythic mission statement, which I don't have in front of me, but I'm sure there's... Even without a mission statement, we can think about what yep. arts organizations can do and how they move forward.
Yep. The big thing coming up this summer is we have a kids' art and drama camp. So there will be 1 week of art camp. It's the last week of July, and 3 weeks of drama camp the first 3 weeks of August. Part of our mission is to reach out to the kids in the community and give them something positive that they can work on.
Yeah, that's one thing I really like about the Hoffman Center is, in a way, how nonspecific it is when we use the word art. Music, literature, the visual arts, drama. It's a pretty wide, I was going to say palette, but I guess that's limiting, and that's a limiting term, too.
Yep. We've got our monthly film series, and that's the fourth Saturday of every month, and then starting back up in... September, we're going to have our writer series, which was one of our biggest attended events. We bring in a regional author, someone from the Pacific Northwest, and they come and they do a reading from their book and do a little Q&A, and then there's an open mic open to all of the writers in the area, and it's usually a big hit.
Now, I guess this is a question which is, normally you throw in the off season, which is when the rest of us kind of sit back and enjoy our own community, but now that we're in the on season, which is to say the tourist season, does both Cardam and the Hoffman Center, I mean, you start seeing new faces come in there and just kicking around and just saying, well, what is this Hoffman Center anyway? And, of course, Cardam is, whenever I have visitors come in from out of town, I say, you've got to see this place. So,
it is our true tourist destination.
It is.
Everybody takes everyone up to Cardam, and your visitor will say, how can we get a Cardam in our community? And that's starting to happen in Hoffman Center. People actually... drive from the valley to Hoffman Center to attend the events because of the community support, the feeling of the venue, the quality of what's produced there. So isn't that interesting that we're drawing our audience from Portland Metro rather than the other way around, which you would imagine from a rural community, we all be going urban to get our juice. It's happening the other way around.
And when you think about a sustainability function, that's a pretty good low... environmental impact, well, petroleum costs notwithstanding, to get from the city here, but
zip cars.
to have a community that isn't just about cashing in on 90 days of good weather, but is really a year-round community. That in itself is an idea of sustainability, which is something that I think we should all be very concerned with and try to foster.
It really is. And, a lot of people, I think what you're pointing to, the model used to be you had your beach house, and then in the winter you went to Arizona. Now so much happens in those off months. The people who go to Arizona say, I don't think we'll go away for 6 months anymore because I don't want to miss that or that or that. I think we'll come back in January so we can go to the Pi Day auction or whatever it is. These events are becoming very beloved, and people just don't want to miss them.
And, in a post... logging, post-fishing world, to have these communities that can thrive, or at least survive, 52 weeks out of the year is important for those of us who live here.
Yeah, I think that we're really fortunate. I kind of don't like to broadcast far and wide how great it is here, but I like to say in my own circle, we live in paradise, aren't we lucky? And we really do, and it's just getting better and better and better.
But John, I looked at your bio before we went on this morning, and you're... Maine, was that correct?
Yes, it is.
So you went from one coast to the other. Was anything like this going on where you started out?
No, there wasn't. I mean, I lived near Portland, Maine before I moved out to the Oregon coast. And, there's a pretty decent art scene going on there, too. And the music scene comes and goes. But there's not a lot of great nonprofits. And in a larger city, it's a very friendly city, and I love it, but it just doesn't have that tight-knit feeling of community that we have here. I think that's it's a very rare thing, and this is the only place I've ever seen anything that's like this.
So you're drawn to communities that are not far from cities called Portland, but and near oceans of one description or another.
Those are my two criteria.
Two criteria for living.
The first
one,
within 5 minutes of the ocean, and the second one was be in a state that has a Portland.
Portland, okay.
Turns out there's about 15 of those, so I kept it pretty broad.
Really? What brought you out here?
I just was ready for a change of scenery. I had been owning a business for about 4 years, and it was a little bit too much for me. And with the economy going down, it was time to just try something new. And I wanted to give myself a chance to focus on making music and making art. And I needed a kind of a low-key, mellow place that, you know, wasn't too urban. And just kind of checked out Oregon for some reason and fell in love with it right away.
Any surprises?
I don't think so. Just how great it is here.
That could be a surprise. I mean, some people might think so. Not concerned about the rain, because you walked away from snow, too.
I'd be shoveling 2 feet of snow every morning.
Let's go back once again for the people who have just joined us and talk about the event. First coming up this weekend, so that the people who have some art that they want to get in the show know where to go.
Right. They bring your work this Friday from 5 to 7 to the Hoffman Center, 594 Lineta Avenue in Manzanita. Or John and I will also be receiving art Saturday morning, June 30th, from 10 to noon at the same location. We will not accept any late entries, so please come to either of those particular time slots. Another thing I want to put in a little plug here for Peter is we are actually having a preview event to the Trash Art Show this year. It's brand new. It's the day before the show opens. The show actually opens on Friday, July 6th, and that's from 6 to 8:30, and then it runs Saturday, July 7th, from 10 to 4, and then Sunday from 11 to 1, then we'll strike the show. But this year we decided to have a preview event, and that event's happening on Thursday, July 5th. We only sold 100 tickets to that event, and I have to say that they sold out in a flash. We didn't realize how popular that would be. So when we got up to ticket number 98, we decided to hold back two tickets and give everybody a chance to come to this event. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be, there'll be music, people in costumes. It's going to have food, beverages. It's just going to be really, really fun, a la Trash Bash. So those tickets are for raffle. Those two tickets, individual tickets, are for raffle at Cardam. And we're going to draw for the two tickets on Monday, July 2nd at 3:50 in the afternoon. And John's going to be there handling that raffle. So your odds are really good to win those tickets. They're $1 each or $6 for $5. So we encourage everybody to get down to Cardam and put their names in that hat to try and win those so that you don't miss that opening event. It's going to be really cool.
And I'm not even sure I want to ask why 3:50 as opposed to 3:45 or 4 o'clock.
Oh, if you know me, I always do stuff at really weird times. Cardam closes at 4, you know, so 3:50 was the time. So whoever wins is going to get that phone call at 3:58.
And for people who have heard all of this and say, I need to learn more, we should give out the ubiquitous website address for both organizations.
Yep, the address for the Hoffman Center is hoffmanblog.org. We also have a Facebook page set up for the Trash Art Show, and the address for that is Trash Art Manzanita.
And if people want more information, they can give me a call at an old-fashioned phone number. It's not a cell phone. It's my home phone, 503-368-7160. And we will get back to you, and we will send you information. We'll answer all your questions, and we hope to see you there.
We do, and this is going to be a fun event. And for more information, you just got the information on a good old-fashioned telephone number. Lorraine Ortiz and John Farithi, thank you for joining us this morning on The Econi View. Great fun. Can't wait for the show.
Okay, Peter. Thank you.